just got to get that mentality that we got to score every time we're on the field. So if we do that, then the sky's the limit for us.
Welcome to the Super Sports Halftime Show on KSCJ. Brought to you by Bob Rose, Point After, North End Zone, and West Side Pizza.
Terry Herson has spent the majority of his life in the newspaper business. He retired in 2015 as the award-winning sports editor of the Sioux City Journal, a position he'd held since 1977. A baby boomer from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Herson spent decades covering sports of every type and level, then converting his observations into words for readers of his stories and columns to consume. Terry works in words the way Norman Rockwell worked in oil paint. Terry has a knack for striking the right chord under the right circumstances. His long-running column, For the Record, was funny at the right times, serious at the right times, and would always seem to touch the reader's hearts and minds as if we were seeing what Terry saw for ourselves. Terry often describes his sports writing career as his life in the candy store. Sports, you see, are life's candy. They are something extra we can all enjoy. But sports are not the meat and potatoes of life. They are a treat. Terry would go into the candy store each day, pick out the treats he thought we would enjoy, and would then set them out for us each morning in the candy dish of the sports section for us to devour. This year, I sat down with Terry for an extensive interview about his life and career. Over the next several halftime shows, I will share with you many segments of that conversation. Tonight, Terry Herson recounts growing up in eastern Iowa, the son of a musician and a lover of sports from his earliest days.
I want to take you back to Cedar Rapids, where it all began for you and for all the readers for all these years. Take me back to that little house across the street from Benjamin Franklin, now middle school, was junior high at the time.
I can't believe you found all this information.
It's amazing what's out there now, yeah. But your sports history growing up. I imagine people over in that area have talked to me about, they listen to Jack Buck on the radio. You were a Gus Schrader reader more so than a radio listener, right?
Yeah. Well, my father was a nationally acclaimed reed player, clarinet and saxophone, and he was on the first syndicated TV show at WMT, and. You know, I went on from there, and I actually got into music myself quite a bit. And, you know, down toward the end of this road, Robert Forrest Road, you know, where the two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the one less traveled by, and I just chose writing over music, and... So I was a singer and self-taught guitar player and had some really cool opportunities, but I just saw my dad's life and it was difficult. So,
well, you pursued music in school and stuff, but you were also a sports player. You played Little League Baseball, right?
Oh, yeah, I played Little League Baseball. Bus Depot Barbershop. We won the city championship.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Bus Depot Barbershop team, in fact, 10 and 11-year-olds, right?
Yeah, it was Cedar Rapids Kids League. We didn't have the Little League because you have to pay for all this insurance to qualify for a Little League. And
well, back then there were a lot of teams because you were in the northeast side of Cedar Rapids, right?
Right.
The Little Bolt area. That was the name of your division in Little League?
You know, I don't even remember that.
Okay, yeah. Well, you certainly remember your coach.
I just remember they gave us a T-shirt. And a cap, and that was it. There were no full uniforms, and no, who was my coach?
Coached by the great Jim Oberbeckling.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I had a lot of coaches.
So what position did you play in baseball?
I was a wonderful right fielder.
You're guarding that low porch in right field, right?
Yeah, except for the time the ball hit me in the eye and knocked me down. Lost it in the sun, and... I don't know. I became a big fan of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and they wrote a song called Right Field. And
yeah.
Not lose a ball in the sun is part of the lyrics. But
still I would pray that I make a fantastic catch on the run and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd awake from this
anyway, yeah, I We played out at Norridge Park, and that wasn't too far down the road from WMT Studios.
Was it the quintessential dad playing catch within the yard, older brother?
No. We had a pretty good grade school phys ed instructor who also coached some teams, you know, and at that level, you know, you don't really have a sanctioned league. But, like, if I had lived across the street where Franklin is, I would have gone to Arthur, and instead I went to Polk School. And so we were kind of arch rivals, and he always, Mr. Ferguson, always made sure that we played them in, you name it, kickball, softball. It was, flag football, that sort of thing. And then we went together at Franklin, and I had to become teammates with kids that were from Arthur. And they pulled a prank on me in the first day of football practice, and I was a little bit perturbed that, you know, we're supposed to be teammates, and you guys, because I went to a different school, and that their school was a little more affluent than ours, and ours ran all the way from middle class to some fairly poor kids. And but I lost four or five friends in Vietnam, and you think back over all the people you've lost, and you know, as you grow older, you'll see how that is, and it just is what, you know, you have to deal with it.
So you've got an older brother growing up, Bobby.
Bobby, yes, I did.
And he was a Mickey Mantle hero. Mickey Mantle was his hero growing up.
Oh,
did you have that same hero when you were growing up?
Well, no. I think at first I was a Hank Aaron fan. And when the Braves left Milwaukee, I became a Cubs fan, which almost everybody in that part of the state is. And so then it was Ernie Banks. And but Mickey Mantle wound up becoming a good friend of my brother's. Here's a boyhood idol. And, he was my brother, worked over 30 years in Oklahoma City as a sports writer. And I had to do, 10 years ago, I had to do one of the last of three eulogies at his funeral, which drew maybe 700 people to a very large church. And one of the 700 people was a guy who came up from Florida named Barry Switzer. And I was deeply moved that he had made that effort on my brother's part. And if you look in his book, Bootlegger's Boy, he calls my brother one of his favorites. And, you know, most of those coaches don't have too many favorites in the news media, but Bobby was fair. And bunk beds and two sports writers, but yeah.
That ends this week's portion of my conversation with Terry Hersom. Join us on the next Halftime Show for more. And we'll be back with more high school football right here on KSCJ.